So as we continue on in this series of local church life, I actually tonight want to further emphasize a point that I really ended on last week that I fear might have caused some confusion. Last week, I emphasized how we as a church are a family, and we are God's children. And in God's family, it's intergenerational. There's older and there's younger. There's believers who span the age spectrum. I spoke on some different points, but I really emphasized the older's responsibility towards the younger. And I do see a scriptural pattern in that, but I also want to make sure that we don't pendulum swing too far and so that those who are younger just think, well, I can just sit back in my lazy boy and wait for somebody who's older to talk to me. What I want to do is hopefully tonight talk about how both need one another, and we need to engage each other, and even emphasize tonight the importance of the younger respecting and honoring those who are older. So we're going to do several things tonight in that type of discussion, but let me give a couple of illustrations to start off. And this first one emphasizes what I spoke on a little bit last week, and I'm going to give you a personal family illustration. Now, I am the youngest of three in my family, and my oldest sister, Kendra, who's been here at church for a little while now, a couple of months, you've probably seen her around. She's 9 years older than I am. And so I can say that living in the home with her, I barely remember those years. I mean, when I was five, she was 14, okay? And when she was a teenager, I just remember my sister spending a lot of time in the bathroom doing makeup. And so that, and I'm thinking about G.I. Joe, okay? So our world's totally different. Every once in a while, she would spend time with me trying to flush my head down the toilet, but that was, you know, minimal, thankfully. But as she got older and as I got older and then she got married, there were times where she would invite me to come over to her house during the summer, maybe a week at a time to spend with her. And as we spent time together, we would play games together, we would watch movies, we would talk. And as I got older, she would start to talk to me about God, and she would ask me how I was doing spiritually. And she challenged me in my pursuit of godliness just through being this older sister who cared about me. I am a different person, I believe I am, because of her influence as a sister in my life. Now, I was immature. I didn't think, and I didn't really think about getting together with her. She invited me to her house, and I spent time with her. And I'm grateful for that. I grew up, and I've matured, hopefully, through those years. But now we have a mutual relationship where she challenges me, but I challenge her spiritually. It's not us simply saying older and younger, but it's we're family and we're children of God who want to spur each other on to the finish line in Christ. That is the type of illustration that would hopefully emphasize what I spoke on last week, that the more mature or even the older need to recognize the younger in the midst and listen to the Father and His calls to the older. And I would even say, pastorally speaking, I want to say to anyone who might consider themselves in the older generation, please know that I feel the need for you in my life and in the life of this church. We need it for greater spiritual growth in our midst. But even as I say these things, again, I don't want the younger to say, well, it's all on older. We have to recognize the need for both, to reach out to both. I want to give you another story. About 25 years ago or so, in the church that I grew up in, an older couple started coming to our church, the name Howard and Jane Curry. And somehow my parents found out that we lived in the same town. Now, the town that we lived in was 25 miles about highway from our church. So it was nice to be able to find out that there were people closer to us in the same town. My parents learned that, and Howard and Jane, they moved to Princeton, Illinois to retire and to live closer to their kids at the retirement. But at some point in time, my parents, who were in their 30s at the time, had Howard and Jane over to their house. And they got to know them and became a little bit close with them. Now, I think in the midst of this time frame, that my parents also had some other friends who were older than they were, some friends that were about 6 to 10 years older than they were, and then some others that were maybe about 30 years older than they were as well. And they would get together once a month, and somebody would host in their home, and that person who would host would make a meal, and other people would bring side dishes, and they called it a gourmet club. It was delicious. I was a kid at the time, and I went along with all of those things. And so you had these older couples there, but Howard and Jane became a part of this group as well. Now, many of you know some of my parents' story, and you might know what's about to happen, but within a couple of years, probably maybe less, with Howard and Jane being at the church, one of my sisters, my other sister, she ended up pursuing, running headlong into sinful lifestyles and sinful behaviors without remorse. Her actions, really, I think you could say, were insane. And my parents thought that she's going to kill herself. There would be times where they didn't hear from her, and then they'd get a collect call from her, and my parents would urge her to repent of her sin, and she just wouldn't do it. Now, in the midst of that time, guess what relationship became essential in my mom's life? It was Jane. That Jane, she ended up, what she would do is she invited my mom over to the house, and she taught my mom how to make dinner rolls, which were delicious too. Okay? And she taught my mom how to make dinner rolls, and then she talked about God. She talked about the suffering that she experienced in her life. She talked about the story of her granddaughter who died at the age of 7 or 8 from cancer, and how that granddaughter, even approaching death, was joyous in Jesus and looking forward to seeing Jesus while the family was in anguish over the fact that she was dying. Now, in the midst of that time too, even Jane gave my mom a devotional that my parents, I think, still use to this day. They've been affected by Jane, and I don't know how much my family has been affected, but I do know that my family as a whole has been largely affected by the influence of Jane in the life of my mom, and Howard and Jane in the life of my parents. Little did my mom know that as a younger woman, inviting an older woman and man into the house, hospitality, and inviting them over for a meal, what the ramifications were going to be. But I think that the Bible is clear on a believer's need to prize and honor and seek the wisdom from the older generation, those who have gone before us. If there's any encouragement that I want to give tonight, it's this: to the older generation, don't negate the wisdom that God has given to you. And while you may think it's minimal, it's needful to pass it down to the next generation. To those who are younger, my call is that we would honor and seek out the older to learn from them the treasures of wisdom God has given to them. So I want to emphasize these points first by going to the scriptures, which talk about the wisdom of the older. And then I want to talk about how we can honor the older. And then in the final point, I want to see how both the younger and older see fruit in relationships as we work together as a body, as a family of children of God. So let's start off with the wisdom of the older. Now, when I say that the older have wisdom, there's some responses people can give here. Some people who are older can laugh on the inside and say, I am not wise. I have been placed in the school of hard knocks my whole life, and that's the only way I have learned anything. Well, if you've learned anything, praise God for that wisdom. Okay? If you are a child of God and you have learned that He has been pressing you in humility, that's a grace of God. Okay? Now, I know another response that either older or younger could state is something like, but just because you're old or older doesn't mean you are by default wise. And we've talked about this multiple times. Paul to Timothy says, don't let anyone despise your youth, because the general Jewish mindset was that old and wise go hand in hand. And yet Timothy, or Paul, says that's not necessarily the case. Timothy, who is a younger, could be considered an elder because there's spiritual wisdom that can exceed your years. That said, if we believe in the doctrine of sanctification, growing in holiness and pursuit of God, we should also have a general awareness that if somebody's been a believer for 60 years, they ought to, generally speaking, have more wisdom than someone who's been a believer for 10 years. Do you get what I'm saying? Generally speaking, if we believe God grows somebody in holiness, that we should have an expectation that those who are older have greater wisdom. Now, here's one other retort that somebody could have. They could say, but wait a second. This could be maybe something a younger person says. But I know all the theology. I've read all the books, and the older people don't know all of those things. I've got the theological smarts. But here's the interesting thing about wisdom. Wisdom isn't necessarily attached to all the information. Now, I'm not using that as an excuse to not grow in the knowledge of God. We need to grow in the knowledge of God, right? Right? Part of the Great Commission, teaching them to observe. But here's the beauty of wisdom. It's learning to grow in trust and faith, trusting God in whatever circumstances of life that come your way. And let me give you another illustration with somebody else that influenced me in my life. Growing up in the church that I grew up in, there was an older woman, an Italian, sweet lady named Rose White. And she just was sweet. I don't know what other word. Rose, perfect name for this woman. But as I was a kid, you know, I'd walk into Sunday school, you know, and she'd be standing there, and she would go up to the kids and just, some of the boys hated this, but she'd kiss them. And just, mwah, kiss us on the forehead. And she'd say, I love you, honey, and I am praying for you. And she'd look at us and say that. And even as we got older, she would consistently say that, I love you, and I'm praying for you. I am praying for you. I love you, and I'm praying for you. Now Rose White couldn't probably communicate the difference between consubstantiation and transubstantiation. But here's the thing that I know. She loved God. And she went through immense difficulties in her own life. A spouse who was an unbeliever, a spouse, I believe, who had alcoholism in his own life. And he didn't come to Christ until soon before his own death. And then after he died, she lived for decades praising God and serving God and telling people she loved them and praying. If there's a prayer warrior, it was her. She taught me, and she had immense wisdom because the consistent testimony of her life was trust the Lord. Trust the Lord. There's only one thing you can do. And I could imagine if I sat down with her, probably with all the questions that I have had in my life, she would just, trust Jesus. I'm praying for you. Trust Jesus. She truly loved God, and she loved others. And the experiences in her life speak so much. Wisdom is given through years and through experiences and through the Word training us what those experiences mean. And so we ought to be a people who honor and look up to those who have gone before us, and those, even in our midst, who have not died and gone to heaven yet, we should look up to the older generation. So I want to read some passages of Scriptures that speak to this. Proverbs 16:31, gray hair is a crown of glory. It is gained in a righteous life. Now, of course, the phrasing of gray hair refers to old age. So if you are older and you don't have gray hair, don't feel bad, okay? It's gray hair is referring to the old age. Don't look down on old age. And we do live in a culture that looks down on old age, I think. And it may even be becoming increasingly the case. But gray hair should be a sign of a long righteous life. It ought to be a sign of a long righteous life. And if someone is a believer in Christ and they're older, we should look up to them. Leviticus 19:32 is another passage that says, you shall stand up before the gray head and honor the face of an old man, and you shall fear your God. I am the Lord. Notice God tells us here to honor the old man. And if we're not honoring the older person, we actually aren't fearing the Lord. The older generation needs to be honored because we need to recognize the position that God has placed them in and the gifts that God has given to them. Job 12:12 is another example. Wisdom is with the aged and understanding in length of days. Now, I think that statement is proverbial because actually, in just a few verses later, Job says that God can take away the discernment of elders too. Okay, so not everyone who's old has wisdom, right? But wisdom should be with the aged. That should be existent there. There should be understanding as one gets older. We should all be learning as we get older, and we need to understand that. Then Deuteronomy 32:7 is another one. Remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask your father, and he will show you. Your elders, and they will tell you. I may be getting ahead of myself here, but what I see from that passage is that we need to be a people who ask questions of those who are older. Tell me your stories. Now, in the Old Testament scriptures, tell us the stories of the scriptures that we don't understand, but I also think we should appreciate the stories of believers through the years and how God has led them through the years to persevere in godliness and learn trust in the Lord. But it's not just the Old Testament that talks about this. There's a couple of New Testament passages I want to talk about too. 1 Timothy 5:1-2. This gets with the issue of even discipline within the church. How do we relate to people older or younger? And we'll see family analogies in this statement. 1 Timothy 5:1-2 says, "Do not rebuke an older man, but encourage him as you would a father. Younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, younger women as sisters in all purity." So we see here the family illustration, but look how he talks about how we should relate to those who are older. We don't just have a haughty spirit and just say, "I'm right, you're wrong. Come on, get over it." Don't just rebuke, but treat them as though they're like a father. Now, how would you talk to your dad? You shouldn't talk that way, okay? That there should be a respect towards children of God who are older. And then 2 Corinthians 4:16, Paul talks of himself as he gets older. He says, "So we do not lose heart, though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day." This should be an encouragement to older and younger alike. As people get older, and I've had many conversations with people who are older, and they will talk about the body. It's just not doing what it used to do, and you feel it more so. But Paul uses the illustration. He says, our outer body is wasting away, but here's something encouraging. The inner self is being renewed day by day. Our spiritual vibrancy doesn't diminish with age. It is intended to only increase as we get older. We're being renewed day by day. And I think that this is something even the younger ought to encourage the older with as well. That God is working, growing, and strengthening you. Now, with these verses, trying to put some of these together, how can those who are younger show honor to those who are older within a church context? How do we honor them? I'd say simply, first, recognize there's wisdom. See, I mentioned this last week. With youthfulness can come folly. There can be a hastiness about things. I know at least for me, I can tend to panic and I want to fix the problem right away. And it's beautiful to be around some people who are older, who have had more decades than I, and they're, "Calm down. The world's not going to fall apart right now unless Jesus comes back. And if he does, then great," right? We don't want to be impetuous. We can recognize the wisdom that the aged have. And even I think we can learn from the foolishness of, if you remember, the Old Testament kings who wouldn't listen to the older advisors. What would happen when they didn't listen to the older advisors and just listened to their friends? Problems, right? We need to learn from that. If we love the Lord and we want to grow in wisdom, grow in wisdom and recognizing the wisdom that God has given to the older. Secondly, purposefully express love. Purposefully express love towards those who are older. I've been even encouraged in talking to some people here in our church family of how younger and older have interacted with each other and in talking and encouraging each other. But I just want to say this as a younger to a younger, that you would probably be surprised at the ways that some people who are older are encouraged by just the small talks that you might not even think about. And so think about how to express love. And then third, I mean, in order to express love, you got to get to know people. This would be an encouragement to both older and younger. We can't know everybody. Even in our own church family, we can't know everybody to the same degree. But we can know some bodies, right? And so get to know some bodies. Get to know some people. And try to think proactively how you're going to engage with and relate to and seek to grow in relationships with those who are older or those who are younger. Maybe it's like we talked about last week with Sunday school, trying to be purposeful and having multiple age groups so that we can get together and learn to relate to one another. Or maybe it's seeking out somebody to get together and maybe learn how to make dinner rolls. I don't know. But trying to be proactive to get to know and to ask questions. To listen to them. Fourth, again, with this, seek wisdom from them. I will tell you this, you'll be blessed. Take some time to carve out a couple of hours in your schedule to get together with somebody who's older than you are. And just say, I just want to sit down, I want to get to know you, and have your ears open. And just say, tell me your story. That's what I want to hear. I love sitting down and listening to older people tell me their story of what God has done in their life. I know I've at least said, I think I've said this maybe more than once, but I know I've at least said this to one person here in this room. You should write down your story. And I'm, it's not a command that I'm saying, but the reality is that I find it sad sometimes when the older, they die and their stories die with them. There's beauty to God's grace through the years. And even if I could use Rose White as an example, I can look at people who have gone to the finish line and say, if God gave them grace to persevere, he's going to give me grace to persevere. I may not feel it right now, but they didn't feel it right then in that moment either. But look at God's faithfulness and what he's done. That's even the example of Hebrews 11, isn't it? To encourage us to see how God worked through believers and caused them to endure through faith. So seek for the wisdom. Listen. Sit down. Hear the stories. Now there's fruit from this for both older and younger. And so I want to try to merge what I talked about last Sunday night and then talk about tonight too. What's the fruit for older and younger when we learn to be a family like this? What's the benefit of doing this? Okay. Well, I think there's a lot of practical benefits. I'm just going to get into a couple. But Titus 2 would be one example that I think of with older women reaching out to younger women because specifically he's talking about women who have children in the home. And I think he's saying, you know, older women, encourage the younger women that this is not futile. I think encourage them to keep persevering in the home and help them along. So older reaching to younger encourages people in the everyday life, encourages mothers in the home to live for God's glory. But as I think about this, I also think of another passage like 2 Corinthians 1:3-4. Paul talks there and he says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. How does God comfort his children? Paul says he comforts his children through his children. Okay, so let me go back to Jane Curry for an example. Her sufferings that she experienced encouraged my mother, who was 30 years her younger, and she comforted my mom with a comfort that God gave her in the midst of her experience and her life. And so that was a comfort to my mother. But there's a specific way that Paul says there are certain types of comfort that we only receive if we've gone through it. Okay? The reality is I think we should want people in our life that we can run to when tragedy hits. Not only when tragedy hits, but definitely people we can run to when tragedy hits. And While there will be people my age and younger that I will run to when tragedy hits, I think that there's also going to be some older people that only they will be able to weep true tears of understanding because of the experiences that they've gone through. They wept at Jesus' feet, and Jesus wiped their tears, and Jesus will use them to wipe my tears, maybe. But there's a comfort that we receive, a mutual encouragement. But there's also, so that's one or two things that I bring up from that scenario with the older to the younger. But I also want to say there is encouragement that the older receive from the younger as well. We've said this, I've mentioned this, but maybe I can say it differently. Just because somebody's old does not mean that they're perfect either. I think about Ecclesiastes 4:13, and I actually really like the book of Ecclesiastes. Some people might think it's very depressing, but I think it's great. We should all think it's great because it's in the Bible. But it's that book where you have the Proverbs, okay, and then Ecclesiastes is the yeah buts, okay? Yeah, but then there's this, and yeah, but then there's this, and yeah, but then there's this too. And Ecclesiastes 4:13 says, "Better was a poor and wise youth than an old and foolish king who no longer knew how to take advice." You know, what I think he kind of brings up is that sometimes as we get older, sometimes people can lose humility. They can let go of it. And actually, they can dig their heels into their own preferences and not seek biblical wisdom any longer. That sometimes, maybe when you get older, you don't know the divide between preference and biblical wisdom. I think that the young can even help with that. Better a young, poor, wise person. There is wisdom that can be there to help spur on and to help encourage those who are older. And I know, actually, I think this is accurate in saying that in times I've talked with people who are older here in our midst and saying, wow, these younger people, they love the Lord, and it's such an encouragement. And I praise God for that because it should continue to be an encouragement. Another thing I think that the younger can do to encourage the older is to continue to persevere. With youthfulness comes an ability many times to run and show physically this zeal, you know. I've had many times my parents say to me, you know, but you're so young. You're so young. Like, I can do everything because I'm so young, but I'm tired, you know. But you're so young. You know, there is something about a strength of youthfulness. We can just keep going even though we're tired, okay. But here's the encouragement of Paul to the older in the church, Titus 2. And I find this an interesting command. In Titus 2, Paul says to the older men, be steadfast. And that word for steadfast actually means to continue to bear up under difficult circumstances. Continue to persevere. Don't give up. Just because the outer body is wasting away doesn't mean the inner man ought to. Keep moving forward. Keep persevering. And so the younger, I think, ought to be encouraging in this. And the older ought to see the need to do that for the benefit of the younger, to pass down the ways of God from one generation to another. As I think about this type of steadfastness, I'm reminded of two individuals in particular. First, the second century Bishop Polycarp. He died around 90 years old as a pastor, being martyred. Polycarp, the bishop at Smyrna. Martyred for his faith, persevered under trial, 90 years old. I think of a reformer who, when he was on his deathbed, he was actually told that because of his failing health, don't have people into your room because you just need to rest. And then these people who were caring for him, or I don't know how many, or if it was one or something, they come into his room, and he has a room full of people who he's teaching the Bible to, and they're saying, what are you doing? You need your rest. And his response was this: if Christ should return now, would you have me doing nothing? Persevere. Be steadfast. And there was this perseverance because they knew the gospel had to go down. It had to keep going into the next generation. We're going to die. These people are still here. But there's one other piece in this. We talk about older and younger and the benefit that there is in this relationship. And of course, God doesn't say that within the church there's only older, younger differences. There's socioeconomic differences. There's ethnic differences. But we see here at Ventura probably the difference that we would experience is more so the age difference in the midst. But there's also another age thing that I want to bring up as well. Oh, and this might sound a little odd as I say this. We don't have anybody in our membership who's 100 or 200 years old. Right? Nobody who's 500, nobody who's 1,000, nobody who's 1,500 years old in our church. And the reason I bring that up is because, as well, we can talk about looking to the older for wisdom, but you know what? In comparison to Polycarp, I mean, he's been in existence longer than any of us. And he is, I believe, in heaven today, all right? And there's wisdom that he has. There's wisdom in the church that has gone before us, the believers who's gone before us. And I think all of us, in some senses, we're young. And I think that we need the wisdom of the generations past as well, because sometimes we can get so focused on this century that we don't see our blind spots. All of us, we don't see our blind spots. We need to look back to past generations, and maybe those generations would speak to us and say, "Why are you fighting about that?" Or sometimes they would say, "Why aren't you fighting about that?" We're all young in some senses, and we need the wisdom of the older. And we do this not only for our benefit, although it is for our benefit, but we do this because ultimately this is to the glory of Christ. Christ is building his church, and he's edifying his body, isn't he? He's growing his family as well, and we want Christ's body to be glorified. We want Jesus' body to grow in godliness because it's Christ's body. And this is the argument that we see in the scriptures, and I want to read from 1 John 4, where John says, "In this the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us." As I preach this message tonight, I think we have to end with these types of thoughts. Far from merely making relationships a checklist, and I don't want people to walk away from last week or this week just simply saying, "Okay, you know, I guess I gotta talk to some people." But instead, what we ought to be thinking of is the immense love of God towards us. Jesus is coming again, and his church is going to be whole then. And he's sanctifying his church until that day he returns. And that we are family. And as family, we have been given the freedom to love one another and to point one another to the love of God until we grow in maturity, or as John says, into perfection. This is for his glory. This is for our good. And so let's pray first, let's pray, "God, please cause my love to deepen for you. Please let me see the majesty of the fact that Jesus was the propitiation or the wrath appeaser for me and for us. And then see how we can extend that love towards one another, older and younger, pursuing Jesus together." And let's pray towards that end tonight. And I would actually encourage us to get into groups again like we usually do, but try to make sure that it's not just your own age demographic, okay? So let's try to get into those groups and pray that the Lord would work in our midst to love one another and to grow together as a body in this way. Lord, we thank you for your grace and your mercy to us that is a satisfying stream and river that flows to our souls. Thank you, God, for you. Thank you for giving us a restored relationship with you. You are our treasure. And then, Father, to know that we have Christ as our Savior, our Lord, even your word says he's our brother. But then we have other adopted children in this family that we can rejoice in you with. Lord, I pray, God, that our love would only increase in you, that we would be astounded and humbled by your great love towards us, and then that we would want to encourage and rejoice in you with one another. That by your grace and mercy, we would continue to challenge and strengthen each other in Christ. Lord, thank you for this body. I thank you for it, God. I pray that we would only continue to grow in holiness and righteousness and love towards you and towards each other. And God, I pray this because of Jesus, not because of us, but because of Christ, whose death and resurrection matters and influences even today. Amen.